Years ago, I was once walking past the grounds of the old Lakeshore Hospital with a person who'd been a patient there as a young man. He'd been there for a long time, and as we walked past Lakeshore, I always remember his comment about how terrible the place was and how bad the treatment was. He said to me they'd put you in a room and they'd give you some bug juice, and you'd have no idea what the hell they were giving you. It's good it closed down, he thought. This document is interesting because of its antiquated text, such as the use of the word mentally retarded, referring to one of the hospital units. I'm kind of struck by the tone of excitement that's presented in the document. It's really a document about the priority of cost cutting in the system, but it's framed as if it's a positive move for patients who are presently staying in the old run-down hospital, but will soon be moving to the Queen Street site, a quote-unquote modern facility. I guess this document's striking because the language also mirrors so much of public relations communications that I heard during the redevelopment of the more current CAMH Queen Street site, which began in 2009 and onward. Similar kinds of words and reflections about how redevelopment was going to be good because the hospital was outdated, it was old and bad, and that with the new site being built, it would represent more inclusion, it would be an urban village. Seems to me that the authority to define and make changes in these spaces and conditions always comes from professional authorities, as if patients have never had a say in years and decades and time gone past. The Lakeshore patients were indeed transferred to Queen Street and Lakeshore closed down. But things didn't go that smoothly. There were problems in the system overhaul. And after a number of deaths in around 1982, the government commissioned a report. The Pete Marwick report was released. And it was a pretty cutting report, and some of what resulted from their recommendations was actually stricter conditions for patients, more seclusion, and more locked wards. Outside of this institutional politics, the ex-patients movement was starting to organize itself. A year after this particular report was created, a group of psychiatric survivors called Mental Patients Association, who were established in 1977, produced the magazine Phoenix Rising in 1980. And this zine forever changed the identity politics of the community. It was a way for people to come together outside of the medical gaze and speak about what some of their concerns and experiences were. One of the editorial members of Phoenix Rising, lawyer Carla McCaig, gave a speech around this time in Kingston, probably one of the first service user anti-stigma speeches, entitled The Myths of Mental Illness. In her speech, one of the things she said was, quote, "One of the reasons that most of you are here is to ask, what can we as a community do to help these people? Well, what we need first of all is friendship, understanding, people who do not shy away from us because they don't quite understand us, and we're a little different from the rest. We need a place to live. We need a job. We need legal protection. And most what we need is recognition that we're not some strange breed." Close quote. When I reread that recently, I was struck by how amazingly we are still fighting these myths today.